In this podcast, I'm going to report about a few side science experiments that I'm running in the background. It's to do with growing salt crystals, something I rather like in terms of understanding the atomic physics associated with it. But as a scientist, you've got your main experiments, the sort of keynote experiments that you're going to have for publications. You always have a few things growing and planting, measuring things, and I always have a few beakers on the boil, or in this case, the evaporation. So this is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific, a range of running podcasts. Basically, I've started doing podcasts as part of my cardiac rehabilitation as a teacher. I've got to learn to speak coherently on topics off the top of my head when you're thrown into classroom. So if you've been off work for a while, it's always good to build up the skill. So I gave a podcast recently about four-leaf clover pictures or shapes found inside salt crystals. So I've always been growing crystals all the time. So I'd finish an experiment, get a solution, have a look at the solution, and have an understanding of what's in the solution by looking at it for a couple of weeks afterwards. So whereas some people would throw out their solutions instantly, I'll have it there and have it look at it and think about it for a couple of weeks afterwards. So the previous podcast is about growing these large salt crystals. And when you grow the large salt crystals and look at them under the microscope, inside is a milky four-leaf clover. It's sort of an incredible thing to look at. And if you also look at the salt crystal, you can actually see how the salt crystal is growing. It's from the edges and the corners. It grows out as a little frame and then fills inwards, paints itself inwards. It's always very good to have a look at these things. And one of the things I commented last time is that growing salt crystals, all the large ones, seems to be a bit of a black art. Sometimes it grows, sometimes it doesn't, and something which keeps you coming back, mixing a bit. You add a bit more salt, things different things happen, add a bit more water. Invariably, when you've got a large salt crystal, if you do anything to the solution, it tends to dissolve it. And what happens is you have a population. So let's go back a little bit. You get a beaker. I have, in this case, a large, it's a mock beaker, a beaker bought from Kmart, given to me as a gift. I've put in some water, put in some salt, and over the time, I let the water evaporate, the salt concentration increases after all the salt has been dissolved, and you get various forms of salt coming out of solution. So one of the first things you see in this, and I've previously discussed it, is a cloud or a precipitation, a very fine precipitation of very light salt crystals. It's sort of their micron or nanometer size, and it's very interesting to see them interact. You swirl it around and they float a little bit above the surface of the water, so it's interesting to see what's suspending them there. And they interact, so when you rotate them around, they either come together, form waves and other structures. So it's quite interesting to look at it. So if you leave it for a while, you get this phenomena of the salt crystals forming a crust on the outside. You can really imagine that. But this crust is not dry salt, it's moist salt. So this crust acts as a wick, and it wicks up your salt and starts to grow up. So in general, you slosh it around, this moist salt becomes mechanically weak, and with a knife or stuff, you can actually fold this back into your salt solution. And you leave it for a while further, and you will see large salt crystals grow. These are, if it's common table salt, sodium chloride, these all grow as cubes, and I can generally, I'll be really happy if I get them above. Generally, it's 2 by 2 millimeters by 1 millimeter deep. But if you're lucky, sort of the best ones I get are about 3.5 millimeters square. And it's also interesting, if you look at these, you can see inclusion of a piece of off to the side, in actual fact, a piece of rubbish or junk. It's nowhere a pure lab. It's just in the kitchen that I'm doing. So I often have a look at this, and I suppose I have questions about the actual population size. So you have one large crystals, a few other smaller crystals, and what makes that population grow? They seem to be locked together in some sort of distribution of crystals. What I want to do is quickly, I suppose, go back into the science of what happens when you put a single salt crystal into water. Let's go back to that, and then I'll go into some interesting salt experiments. So that salt crystal is made up of a ionic lattice of sodium ions. So this is a sodium atom with the outermost electron removed. Just quantum mechanics means that this is an electron in a spherical shell, and it can't get very close to the ion. So that ion can actually can lose its electron. It can go off into the water, and the negative parts of the water will stick to the positive ion and surround it with a coating of water and continue to coat it. That electron will go off, and it will go inside a chlorine atom. And when I say literally inside a chlorine atom, which has got a protons and neutrons, if you rotate that atom around, you can actually see a patch which is weak in electrons, but you can see the positive nucleus at close range. So at close range, you can actually stick the electron inside, and consequently you'll get a chlorine minus ion and anion. So the two go together in a salt crystal, forming an electrostatically stuck together ensemble of positive sodium ions and negative chlorine ions. And in water, when the water comes in, it actually starts to wrap the negative and polar aspects of the molecule, water molecules, around the water, around the ions, and actually forms a diffuse, larger ion. So if you can imagine these ions get a water layer around it, and the water layer builds and builds and builds. And so what happens is that when your salt crystal dissolves, it actually, the ions don't walk and wander everywhere, they actually form a actual fairly stable but large supermolecule of the sodium and chlorine ions. So if you imagine an ordinary lattice array of sodium and chlorine, when it goes into solution, that array doesn't disorder. You can't actually, it's energetically unfavorable to have two sodiums next to each other and two chlorines next to each other. Although it's a bit more relaxed, your salt crystal hydrates, and actually hydrates to fill the entire water. So it's interesting that your salt crystal actually expands out, and of course if you divide your water in half and re-dry it, your salt crystal also breaks in half. There's a conservation of mass and sort of understanding there. So let's go back and look at some of the interesting things that I've done. When I've got a fairly strongly saturated, and I can't repeat this every time, but a strongly saturated salt solution, and I put it in the microwave and heat it up relatively gently. It boils a little bit, but I keep the temperature low. This phenomena happens, which is, you know, just incredible to see, because it's also really quick. Now, in terms of time scale, this salt thing generally happens in days. You're looking at a day or so for this to gradually happen. It's rather good because you can come back and observe it bit by bit, and so almost time-lapse photography, but not really time-lapse because you're watching it in real time. But in terms of the salt in the microwave, you'll see this phenomena where the water's really hot, around 90 degrees, and these salt boats, it's clear salt boats, form on the surface of the water, and they lock together and form a glassy sheet, and you can see the steam, the water ingressing into the salt, going up to the top and evaporating off the surface. And you can actually get a salt linear, what is it, a surface of salt producing, which is a clear, a single clear salt crystal the size of your beaker. And you can pick it up with tweezers, and it's like this window. It's a really incredible thing to see. The salt, it's not a geometrically smooth thing. It's got little ripples in it, but it's one clear glass surface. Now, as it dries up, the moist salt forms a smoky surface, so you can polish that back, and you can see a clear disc of salt. It's actually quite interesting to look at. Now I want to investigate that a little bit longer, but every once in a while I'll do it. And if you overboil it, you just drive off all the water and you just get rubbish. So you've just got to heat it up a little bit and be a bit patient. Maybe set your microwave power to low, give it a few seconds each, bring it in and out, and watch it and carefully tend it. But you'll get this pretty amazing phenomenon where the actual salt floats on top. So I'm trying to understand that. You imagine this, your salt crystal normally is at the bottom. So there must be something going on there, some interesting science to go across. And I was reminded that I had bought what we in Australia call United States salt, but there's no evidence that the United States, this is very popular salt in the United States. It's called a diet salt, a light salt, a sort of misnomer. And it's 50% potassium chloride, so you have potassium chloride and sodium chloride, and people say, well, if you want to reduce your potassium, your sodium intake, which is bad for your heart, you can have increase your potassium, replace some of the sodium with potassium, so you have this thing called light salt. Now, in fact, the salt is actually heavier per mole, per unit of salt, than the potassium salt, because it's actually, the potassium is heavier, and it does taste distinctively different, but it still tastes a little bit salty. It tastes a bit sweeter when you put it in your mouth. And the idea is that this can, if you are addicted to salt, this can reduce your sodium intake. It's a bit of a strange thing, because too much potassium can actually cause heart palpitations. There's a whole series of problems. Especially, I wouldn't recommend it to a diabetic or anyone really trying to lose weight. And for some reason, people around here believe this is what is very popular in the United States. It's probably not so. But this sodium light salt is fairly distinctive, because you can see the crystals are very much finer as you get it. It's a much more powdery salt. And you mix this in with water. And one of the interesting things is it's what I call a tertiary salt. That is, there are three ions in solution, the chlorine, negative ion, and the potassium and sodium, which are two positive ions. Now, I've known for a while that if you have a combination of salt ions, it leads to high salt mobility. So if you have a pure salt, it does wick up during this process, but if it's a mixture salt, it goes across. So there are certain salt combinations which are particularly good at this, but this is a salt combination which you can readily get from your supermarket. It's called light salt, and it's got potassium and chlorine in it. I had bought it because I sort of wanted to throw it in some flame and see if you could get the lilac colour of potassium coming out in the flame, whether it would be dominated by the sodium, or you do have to see some of the lilac colour of potassium. Yeah, just always interested in that. Unfortunately, I was disappointed. You didn't get a real strong spectroscopic signature. So really, if you want to see cheap spectroscopy, you can actually buy coloured birthday party candles, and it actually just mixes it in for you. You don't have to worry. You can just light these candles up and you can see the different elements glowing in different candles. I had bought it for that, had it on the shelves, and I am pleased to report this is a fairly simple experiment to do. You just have a clear glass, and does this particularly grow? Whereas some other salt solutions grow, it's a fairly thick crust which grows up. This is a very thin crust. There's something to understand about that, but it grows very, very quickly, and so much so I would say it the beaker I've got advances probably 3 centimeters, 5 centimeters a day, around that much. So I've got, say, a 7 centimeter high glass cup, so it reached the top of that in under 2 days. It was so yesterday morning it was on the tip of a glass, it's peeking over the edge, and yes indeed it does tend to really seek open air or sunlight. So this goes over the top, and I assume there's preferential or competitive evaporation from a surface, and so it's gone over the top, and even by today, by yesterday, it had climbed down about two centimetres, and it's now really expanded up, and I think by the end of the day it will have completely covered the outside of the cup. So I can just recommend, if you're at home, it's fairly cheap. Everyone, I hope, has some salt and some water, and mix it up. I'd recommend going home, having a little play with the salt, and see if you can get these salt sheets growing up. If you've got a microwave and want to heat it up gently, or if you want to grow crystals, it requires a bit more patience there. So you will not see crystals for a fair while, and then they'll suddenly start to appear. Before you can see them, you can actually hear them. And so as you shake, swirl your salt solution around and have a look at it, you'll hear the crystals grind at the bottom when they're starting to grow. So that's a way to go. And also, if you get the potassium or light salt, potassium and sodium chloride mix, you'll get a mixture salt. I assume the salt crystals sort of growing become unstable, so you don't get the large salt crystals growing. There is something about this this mixture of salts which mean that they become particularly mobile. Although it's a health food, I'd be very reluctant, or you'd have to really know your health condition before you began to self-medicate with this so-called light salt. So that's all for now, and I hope you enjoy and listen to this. And in the meantime, keep on doing science.